Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
This weekend we're looking at singleness, and the title of this presentation is Being Single Focused. We've got a great testimony and also a Q&A panel a little bit later, but we want to start this by showing you a clip from Mark Driscoll. And I understand that Mark is sometimes somewhat of a controversial figure in church life, but we watched this and thought that he absolutely nailed it when it came to this topic of singleness. And so this goes for about 10 minutes. Please have a look at the screen.
Let me speak to all who are single, especially those who are maybe a little older, those who aspire to be married, but for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like it's on the horizon anytime soon. Let me in particular speak to the single women. Recently, I've had a number of side conversations with godly, older, single women who aspire to be married and I think are wonderful. I can't figure out why they're not married. I don't understand. They're great and single, and I don't understand. And I was talking to one of these gals. She came up. She said, "Pastor Mark, what do I do?" And I felt like her dad in that moment. Like, what would I tell my daughter? And so it kind of came to me, and I'll share it with you. I said, "Well, there's really only six options." Okay? I don't know why that's funny. I'm a dad who always has something to say. So here they are. Six options for singles. Okay? Six options for singles. Ready? Okay, take notes, single people. Option, and I'm talking about those of you particularly who are single and aspiring to marriage. You want to be married, but you're not there yet. Either you're not ready, you're trying to get ready, or maybe you're a godly woman and a man has not come along yet who's fit to be a husband, and you're looking at your future saying, "I don't know if it's going to happen for me. I would like to be married. I appreciate Mark's sermons. I like guys getting yelled at. I wish one would call me." Okay? But it's not happening for you. And I've had a lot of conversations with godly older women who aspire to be married, but it's not happening for them recently. So if this is you, you've really got six options. And number one is just sin. I'm going to date an unbeliever. I'm going to move in with somebody. I'm going to sleep with somebody. I'm going to play the single scene. I'll find somebody who worships a different God or an atheist, or, you know, I'm just going to sin. I'm going to rebel. I'm going to do my thing. God, you've not come through for me, so I'm going to take matters into my own hands. What that's going to do, particularly for you ladies, it's going to harm your relationship with Jesus, and he's the most important man in your life, and any other man that hinders the relationship with the God-man is the wrong man. Number two, some of you are going to surrender. You say, "You know what? I give up. I'm never going to get married. I need to give up hope. I need to take my heart, lock it up in a vault. Nobody ever gets to it. No more trying, no more dating, no more caring. I'm not even going to pray about it anymore. If somebody comes up to me and says, 'Well, I'll introduce you to somebody,' no thank you." Okay? I'm not interested. I give up. I give up. Number three, you can settle. You can start with a list of, "I want somebody who loves Jesus too. They're breathing." Check. All right, that was my list. Now, some of you are single and your expectations are way too high. Your list is way too long. No one will ever meet it. And if they could meet it, they would have options other than you. Let me just tell you the way it is. If that person exists that's that amazing, they could find someone else, okay? I'm just telling you how it's going to go. Some of you, your list of expectations are way too low. Way too low. Need to have a reasonable expectation. And here's the key, singles. Don't just have a list for what you want in a spouse. Have a list of what you want to be for your spouse. If you're going to have a list, have two lists. Here's who I want to be, and here's who I'm hoping to meet. But what happens is, after a while, you start to settle and cross things off your list, right? You're in your 20s. All of a sudden, you're like, say you're a woman. I want him to love Jesus, and I want to be able to follow him as our family leader, and I want to have kids. And then you hit 30, right? And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my goodness. Now I got to check off that he can lead well and that I totally respect him, and I'll just find somebody who believes in God. And pretty soon, even that is, used to believe in God. Good enough. All of a sudden, you start settling. You start lowering your expectations. Don't do that. Don't be unreasonable, but have some expectations. And don't settle. It's better to be single than miserably married. And I'm not going to ask the married people to amen that point. But if they were in their honest moment, they would look at you and say, it's better to be single than in the situation that I'm in. Number four, you can use this as an opportunity to just suffer. You could look at your singleness like a club to beat yourself. There's something wrong with me. I'm damaged goods. Nobody picked me. Nobody loved me. Nobody wants me. Everybody's rejected me. You can hand that club to Satan, just let him beat you over and over and over and over. Don't do that. There are some women, Grace and I are friends with a lot of single women. Some of them are single moms. Some of them have never married. Some of them are widowed. And we'll just look at one another befuddled. I can't figure out why she's single. She's amazing. Girls, I can't either. I don't understand. I can't comprehend. I don't understand. Sometimes if you're single, there's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes there is. Okay, right? But sometimes there's nothing wrong with you. So don't beat yourself up, and don't allow others to beat you up, and don't allow Satan to beat you up. Number five, you could strive. This is the person who says, I am going to be married. And it becomes like a full-time job. You're like, I'm going to go to every Christian dating site. I'm going to fill out a profile. I'm going to lie about who I am. I'm going to Photoshop myself so I look younger and happier. I'm going to go to every Christian singles ministry I can find. I'm going to go to every community group at my Mars Hill church. And then I'm going to go to other Mars Hill churches and all of their community groups too. And every time I leave the house, sometimes ladies will do this, I'm going to dress up like it's a pageant. I'm not even going to go to the mailbox unless I have mascara on and heels, okay? You're trying to put a lot of bait on the hook is what you're trying to do. Some of you guys are like this as well. Too much cologne guy would be an example, okay? Like, I am going to get a shirt with buttons. I'm going to have two eyebrows, and I'm going to smell nice. And I'm going to go to Mars Hill, and I'm going to be a greeter. And I'm going to meet every woman who comes in the church. Welcome. Look for a ring. Look for a ring. Look for a ring, okay? And you're overdoing it. You're overplaying your hand. You're trying too hard, okay? Have you met these people? Right? Okay. It's a little too much. They're obsessed. It's too much. Calm down, right? If God had a mate for you, he wouldn't even need to be involved at this point. You've got it all nailed down, okay? And some people become obsessed. And here's the deal. These people run the risk of loving marriage and not their spouse. They've got a script and they're just wanting to hand someone the lines. It doesn't matter who it is. God doesn't call us to just love marriage, but to love our spouse. Number six, you can take, here's your option, what I would encourage you for, particularly those of you who are single with no marriage prospects on the horizon, though 9 out of 10 of you will statistically marry, but particularly for the godly women who love the Lord and are unsure if this day of their wedding will ever come, seek solace in this. You worship Jesus who was married or single? Single. Lived a, what kind of life? Perfect life. True or false, Jesus left a legacy. No one in the history of the world has left a legacy equal to Jesus Christ, yet he never married and he never had children. His life was meaningful, his life was valuable, his life was purposeful, and his life was single. So for those of you who are single, you worship Jesus Christ, who didn't sin sexually, had relationships with the opposite sex that were appropriate and friendly, but not over any kind of line. He was single, but he was not alone. And he invested his life, he didn't waste his life, and we're part of his legacy. So when you're single and you're struggling with your singleness, know that the Jesus that you're talking to is a Jesus who understands. He's a high priest who sympathizes. He's a single God and Savior who has been where you are and is there to comfort you and to console you and to encourage you and to instruct you and to lead you and to guide you.
Lots of food for thoughts. And any singles that want to join our helps team tonight, I'm sure we'll really appreciate it. Look, lots of great food for thought there. And I have to say, though, that even though he does address to single women, I think it applies to both single women and men. I'm sure you'd agree with me in that. Well, now I'd like to welcome up to the platform a very special lady. You know, a couple of years ago I met this lady and I just knew straight away there was something quite unique about her. She's a single mum, and she's here to tell us her story, and her name is Lucy Cumming. So can you please warmly welcome her as she shares her story.
Good evening. Good evening. Can't believe I'm doing this. So, look, thank you very, very much for the opportunity to be able to share with you this evening. Just before I begin, I want to take a moment to honour our pastors, Pastor Rob and Pastor Christy, and to the Bayside leadership team. Your godly example, your enormous contribution that you make to so many people, your pioneering spirit, your sacrifices that you make that we don't ever, ever know about. Thank you for the way that you lift high the name of Jesus and the way you make real the kingdom of God here on earth. So thank you. It's really nothing short of a miracle to be standing here before you tonight. And a dear friend once told me that there's huge value in being able to hold things lightly. And when you can allow something to be, you can become free. So for those of you who don't know me, I am a teacher and I love what I do. I teach French and drama, English, and I'm pastorally responsible for 20 amazing Year 7 boys. It's fun, yes. I would describe myself as a lifelong learner, and I think that this has actually been a blessing in so many ways. Around Bayside, I'm commonly known as Harry's mum, and I think that there might be a picture up of him on the screen. Is he there? There he is. Hey, deliberate choice of photo. Harry's just turned 9 this week, and I think he'd describe us as diehard demon supporters. We've done prayer walks around the MCG, and we really believe that the Melbourne Football Club are in need of revival. Everybody has a story to share, and the more I get to spend time with people here at church and connect with people on a regular basis, I've come to realise the importance and the power in sharing. Our story is an incredible one of God's radical love. What the enemy destroyed, God purposed to be a declaration of his love, his grace, and his mercy. My life story started very well. The early chapters of my life were characterized by lots of time spent with a very close-knit extended family. I was raised in a Christian home by two loving parents, and I've got a younger, beautiful sister. And I was really blessed to be brought up very closely by my maternal grandparents, whose faith and godly example taught me so much. And as I get older, I'm constantly grateful for the generational heritage that has helped me to carry the shield of faith through many challenges and twists in the road. I grew up in the Anglican Church, actually in the church that my grandfather helped to build, and it was there that I first encountered the Holy Spirit, and it was there as a child that I began to develop a relationship with Jesus. Flip forward a few chapters in my life story, and in my early 20s, I'd married my longtime sweetheart, and together we led youth groups and ran Bible studies, and so far, I'm sure you'd agree with me, life was good. However, I have to say that life did become a bit of a page-turner when I found myself with a beautiful, beautiful three-week-old baby boy abandoned by my husband. It was so extraordinary. And from that time forward, life wasn't the same. And it was a time that I don't really have very clear memories of, except to say that, had it not been for the acts of kindness of people who just keep calling and keep leaving food at the door and who just continued to walk with me, especially my family. Oh, it's hard to imagine, how I could have kept going. But I did, thanks to God. Marriage is a very public act, and so is divorce. And so I had to deal with the crushing humiliation of having a newborn and being on my own. So I was just numb, really, and I got a dog. So I could walk the pram and feel somewhat more like, a family, like a proper mum and all of that. And obviously the next few chapters of my story were really filled with confusion and immense pain. And I can honestly understand that beautiful picture behind there of the broken heart. Yes, it hurt. Everything hurt. I just wondered if I'd ever feel normal again. But I did have a loving family. And I did have a beautiful little baby boy, and so I needed to love him and care for him, and that's what I did. But it got me thinking, who was I now? I'd been a wife and a mother, and now I was being given labels like single parent, single mum, zero credit rating. And it got me thinking. It really got me thinking that I had a choice to make, and I was either going to listen to the world's view of me and wear those labels, or I could accept that my identity was in Christ and that in Him and through His grace, I was enough. And so I began on the journey that I'm still on today, on my way to being whole and complete, regardless of my marital status. So it was very evident to me that I needed Jesus, and there were many blessings in the trials, and my need for Jesus was paramount. And although I would never ever wish to revisit those certain chapters of my life story, I am incredibly grateful that through that I was able to forge a wonderful relationship with Jesus. I had to sleep sometimes with a Bible on my bed, and I read the Bible all the time. That was really all I did, was just read the Bible and look after Harry and keep going. But God is wonderful how He uses people to speak into your situation. I found a book by an amazing Christian sole parent of four children. Her name's Angela Thomas. And I've got a very dog-eared copy, which I still keep beside my bed. But she just spoke straight to my heart. And whenever I needed some comfort or some encouragement, sometimes I'd just read a chapter of her word, and it was just wonderful to know that I wasn't alone. The night that Harry's father left, a very dear friend sent to me Psalm 91, And ever since then, I've had that written on my heart, and I read it all the time. And I love how God's word can always be fresh, and you can read it, and you can read it, and you can it speaks to you in a different way every time. But I just love that this psalm is one that is real. You know, it's a spiritual battle that I found myself in. And thank goodness for God's beautiful wings that have always covered us, and for his very present help and comfort. So, yes, I found myself reluctantly in a spiritual battle, and I wasn't 100% sure whether God had chosen the right person to do that. I do think he had a small sense of humour about this. However, that was so. But again, the blessing was it afforded me the opportunity to be very clear about coming to church and why I was coming to church. I come to church, honestly, every single week to be re-equipped. I am on my knees grateful for the ministry that we receive here. It's phenomenal. It's life-changing. And every single time I come in the door, I go like this. I'm home. It's good. Yay. I've done another week and I'm ready to have an encounter such that I'm going to leave better than when I came in the door. So yay, yay for Bayside, yay for church, and for all that Jesus is doing through amazing, amazing people like our pastoral team. So our teaching here at Bayside has helped me to become more discerning in the battle. It's helped me to sharpen my spiritual eyes, and it's helped me to fix my eyes on Jesus and make it my mission to live out that wonderful scripture in Hebrews 12, which just talks about throwing off the things that so easily ensnare us and run the race that God's called us to run. And it's been very clear to me the race that God has called me to run, and that is to parent Harry and to bring him up in the ways of the Lord. And Jesus is the head of our home, and we're very grateful for that. And our place, our home, is a place of peace and refuge and welcome. So when Harry was a baby and I didn't have a lot of energy or strength left, I was blessed to receive some music from a very dear friend, and it was actually a Christian children's artist. His name is Colin Buchanan. Do you know him? Okay, you understand what I'm saying. Well, my family and I have become Colin Buchanan groupies. We go every year, we line up the door, and we go because we're so grateful for the way that he sowed into our life. You know, there's something remarkable about the way God uses simple illustrations through humour. Yay for humour. And, you know, Colin has blessed us in the most extraordinary way. So if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to Colin Buchanan, I would encourage you, children of all ages. I think Pastor Rob mentioned something about being a child of God during the week and how important it is to see things with childlike faith. So yes, he was an amazing blessing to us, and through that he really ministered to me in my parenting, and he helped to heal my heart. He gave me grace, he gave me strength, and he helped me to see situations for the way that they were. You know, there's this song about the crocodile, and snap, all of a sudden, sin. And, you know, I loved it because it was so practical, and I'm still walking through a real spiritual battle. And so it's really good to have things like music to be able to plug into and to be reconnected like that with, you know, running your race. So there you go. Worship also has been key in our journey. And I like to practice things, and I like to practice when I'm confronted with fear or anxiety or, a difficult email or a difficult situation. I've practiced praising before I read the email, for example, or before I go like that. I'll choose to worship first and then see what happens, because as I understand it, there's blessing in allowing God to take care of the situation before we get involved and it gets all mm-mm. So I'm really grateful for the way that we worship here and for that extraordinary blessing. People who come up here on the platform and do worship like that are amazing, amazing, the way they minister to us. I like the byline, not bitter, better. And I prayed that God would mend my broken heart and that our situation wouldn't be one of limitation, but one of thanksgiving. So although Harry and I never chose to be separated, we do appreciate the time that we are together because we know what it's like to be apart. But praise God that we're together in spirit. And we know that we're together because of our love of God and that a threefold cord is not easily broken. So we're a team, we're a tight team, and we like to do life together well. And it's all about perspective and humour. And my speaking of humour, my journey has afforded me the opportunity to relate to married and to single people. I can relate to both sides of the fence. And I want to share with you a little clip, which I think might pop up on the screen now, about the challenges of being single in a married world. We'll just have a quick look.
Oh God, I'm having dinner with Magda and Jeremy. The only thing worse than smug married couple. Lots of smug married couples.
Right, everyone, this is Bridget. Bridge, this is Hugo and Jane, and obviously you know Cosmo and Woni.
Hi, Bridge.
This is Alistair and Henrietta.
Hello.
Julia and Michael.
Hey.
Joanne and Paul.
Hello.
And Jeremy's partners from Chambers, this is Natasha Glenville and Mark Darcy.
Hi there.
Hello.
Not in your bunny girl outfit today?
No. We bunnies only wear our tails on very special occasions.
Right, Bee, sit yourself down.
Right.
I love it. You have to laugh. It's amazing some of the questions that I have been asked and about how I'm going. And generally when my response underwhelms people, it tends to open up the floodgates with questions of concern about what I need to do to move forward. While things have actually remained unchanged in the natural, I've actually been sensing in my spirit for a while that God has been moving on our behalf. And I felt that he whispered to me that things are not as they seem. And this has really fueled my hope. His timing, of course, is perfect, so I don't worry about that. But it did make me smile recently when Harry had had a conversation with my sister, who's in PR, about the role of advertising. It was around the time when the exchange program billboards were going up around Melbourne. And Harry shrieked with excitement because he said, I just saw Pastor Rob and Pastor Christy. They were huge. And over dinner that night, he had a revelation. He said, I think I'm going to advertise for a dad. And I think that we'll do a billboard the way Pastor Rob and Pastor Christy did. And I might do a letter drop as well. And I asked him what the billboard might say. And quick as a flash, he said, two for the price of one. We're not too bad. It's so good to laugh, isn't it? And just to know that God has everything in hand. I feel incredibly blessed in spite of our situation. I actually feel incredibly blessed because God has used the same clay and totally remolded me. Everything that I knew was taken away, and God, in his great love and wisdom, allowed me to start again. I feel like I'm now awake. And I feel very humbled to be called by God to raise Harry. And I've done this really joyfully. It's been an absolute delight. And with Jesus as the head of our home, I trust him for what his purposes are for our life moving forward. And we know that Jeremiah 29:11 says that his plans for us are for good. And the rest, I suppose, as they say, is history. Yet unwritten pages to be read. But just in closing, I want to encourage you because, as I said at the start, how much I was edified and blessed by the tangible acts of love and kindness of people who I hold very dear. And I just want to encourage you to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to write that letter to someone, to make a meal, phone, drop around with some flowers, because you mightn't realise the blessing and the miracle in someone else's life that you are able to cause by being obedient to him. So thank you for the opportunity to share with you tonight.
Isn't she amazing?
Thank you.
You've done so well. Wow. I've heard it and I'm speechless every time I do hear it. And she's an amazing woman, wouldn't you agree? And I truly believe that we've been really blessed by hearing that testimony tonight. And I really, my prayer is that it you know, opens our eyes and, you know, draws compassion for those who are in our church. Everyone has a story. And it's always wonderful to hear someone's story and to touch us. And who knows, as Lucy said, just to be obedient to those promptings of the Holy Spirit, to encourage one another, because we're all in this race together. Amen. Okay, for a little bit of light humour, we're now going to watch the screens, particularly a little bit of an eye-opener of things of not what, sorry, let me start that again, of things not to say to a single person, thanks to our drama team.
Hi there, are you single? Is it a bit of a problem? You know, are people constantly getting in your face, telling you what to do and what you need to change and things like that? Well, Bayside Drama, hear your pain. So today we're presenting
the top 10 plus one things not to say to a single person.
And the first one is the most generic one.
There's plenty more fish in the sea.
Number two, and this one I kind of resonate with a little bit because I may or may not have had a little bit of success, but it can be really degrading for some people.
Why don't you try online dating? It worked for me.
What can we say about number three? It's probably the biggest pet peeve of single people. They get so annoyed, so frustrated, and I'm pretty sure I've seen a few people end up with a black eye after saying it.
How are you still single, Steph? You're so great. These guys don't know what they're missing.
There's nothing like looking at a poster of a celebrity and, you know, wishing that you could somehow morph into something more desirable.
What has she got that I don't have?
Have you thought about changing your hair?
We've all seen people and we all know people who like to write extensive lists labelling out the exact characteristics. You know, I need my man to have 21 centimetre biceps. Or, you know, I want my girl to have multicoloured eyes. This one's kind of for you.
I just can't seem to find the right person.
Oh, well, your list obviously isn't detailed enough.
When you're single, you start questioning yourself and what's going on. And, well, this is what some other people might think.
Girls, you better get out there. They're doing the bouquet toss.
There's nothing like the grouchy, upset, married person who comes across to a single person and imparts a little bit of wisdom.
I can't wait till I meet that one. You know, that one.
One day, when you're married, you'll wish you were still single.
We've all tried the whole, let's just go speed dating, or let's go to a club and try and meet people. Well, that doesn't always go to plan, unfortunately.
Why hasn't she messaged me?
Look, mate, she must have forgotten your number. It happens. There's plenty of Bible verses that they talk about having faith, and, well, this is what happens when you take it out of context.
Alana, you're still single. You do know that all things are possible through Christ for those who believe.
Beyonce sang a song about if you like it, you should have put a ring on it. Well, you know, for some people, that's just really, really difficult.
Nath, if you want to find a girl, you've got to stop being such a comitophobe.
What more can I say for this one?
You're getting on, you know. It's time to settle down.
And just remember, single people have feelings too.
Very good, very good. I apologise, I think I've said a few of those things. That's all right. I'd like to welcome up our panel. We're going to have a short discussion. And we have the amazing James Lowndes, Rachel Boyd, Helen Cox and Ash Humphrey. If you guys come up here, join us this morning. The microphones are on. And we just got some questions just to get to know them very quickly, just a quick rapid fire, and it'll be hands up and down just so you get to sort of understand where they're coming from. So right now, who is single and never been married or engaged? Okay. Who's found themselves single again? Who's keen to be married at some point? Taking notes? No. And who is content with a single status and not expecting to marry again? No one this morning, I don't think. There we are. So you know a little bit about them. They've been very brave to come up here. So if you will give them your smiles and attention right now. It's not difficult, not easy sometimes to talk about these things, but I know we're going to hear some great truths as we go through. But let's first of all, let's hear, what are some great things about being single, guys? Who can open up? We're on. All the microphones are on, so just pick it up and go. Rachel?
Well, I'll start us off. I guess for me, there's no, like, you don't have to, you've got time. So you're not committed to spending a certain day with your partner, or you can shop as long as I would like to. And I guess it comes that money too. You've got money to spend on what you would like to spend it on. And as well for me, I'm a uni student and I'm working and I'm quite involved at church. So I've got a lot of things to juggle. So I guess it's one less thing that I need to prioritise and balance throughout the week. So they'd be my top.
That'd be a top view. Ash, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I suppose I shared last night that for me, being single over the last few years has been a really good opportunity for God to grow me and sort of work through me without the pressure of me needing to be anything to anyone else. So I think that's been a real advantage in my life.
Absolutely, very good. James, did you want to?
Yeah, I've got to say I love leaving the towels on the floor and not being told off. I can do it, but on a serious note, I can do whatever I like. I went and saw two footy matches yesterday. I like watching documentaries. Therefore, I don't have to watch romantic comedies or rom-coms.
He's selling himself right now.
But this is serious. I go along to art galleries and I can go home whenever I want, and it's just there's no rules with regards to. Set times and places.
Excellent. Very good.
Definitely freedom and independence. But I think the timing factor that Rach said is definitely teaches us patience. I think waiting on the Lord is an integral part of our walk with God. And, if anything, it teaches us patience, that's for sure.
Excellent. Always lessons to be learned. So they're the good things. So what are some of the struggles you may face then as singles or in single life? Do you want to start with that?
Self-doubt, definitely. Self-doubt. You know, what's wrong with me? What have I... You see your friends with all of their amazing partners and definitely, I mean, that's not a daily occurrence, but there is self-doubt that comes into it at times. The challenges of... what can I do to perhaps find that life partner, or what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me?
Absolutely. Did any of you have anything to add about struggles, Rachel?
So for me, probably, I guess, that security of having someone that you're going to spend your life with, and I guess friends you have for a season and they kind of come and go, whereas a partner you're going to have for life. So, yeah, probably that security and... Again, just similar thing, like in a conversation with with friends, a lot of my non-Christian friends, the kind of go-to conversation is guys and what's the drama in your life. And sometimes it's just like not embarrassing, but you just kind of feel left out because you're like, well, no, there's nothing going on. But feeling included in kind of the conversation or socialising side of stuff.
And do you feel there's a pressure also then to have to, I suppose, for any better one of the word, join the game that they're playing?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess especially in a non-Christian setting, it's a bit different. It's not just being in a relationship, but it's just the attention and the kind of games that they'll play with other guys. And it can get a bit annoying. But
what about a guy's perspective? We got James.
Oh, listening to long love songs and dedications is pretty hard. But seriously, again, I'll go home tonight and I'll make a lovely meal, and I'll light candles, and I'm doing it by myself tonight. So that's pretty hard Sunday nights. Not so much during the week because I keep myself busy with work and meetings. But especially Sunday nights, it's pretty hard.
Someone said they're available. I suppose all those requests need to go to the iConnect desk at the end of the... Write up a little profile? No. So obviously there are some struggles. And how do you find intimacy then in the context of relationship? When you see the rest of the world, they have their views on that. So how do you find that intimacy that married couples or others may have?
I guess for me, I probably try to steer clear of some things that would lead me down that track. So maybe whether it's music or movies or books or even conversation, I will tend to, just steer clear. But then in another sense, I would find intimacy with my family or my friends and solace in that side of things and get support from them.
So you're saying some of the books and movies have an unhealthy...
Yeah, definitely, and can lead you on a thought pattern that's not healthy or can lead you down a track that's not healthy, yeah.
Cool, very good. James, Ash?
Yeah, just adding to that from a male perspective, obviously as a male you stay away from pornography. And even, I'm not being prude about this, but even the Saturday morning video hit shows, you just stay well clear of it. I remember Rob, he said this a couple of times, it's like tar on the brain if you do get involved, so just stay well clear.
Creates an unhealthy expectation, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think as well as that, social media is something you've got to be pretty careful about. I've got a lot of friends, for example, that... aren't in this church or from a church background, and they might post pictures that are reasonably inappropriate. And also, given the nature of social media, it's so easy to contact people. You can get messages from girls who you don't really know that well, who might sort of offer certain things, and you've got to be really careful about that sort of stuff. So I think for me, that's a big one you've got to be wary of.
Yeah. You probably need to change your status on Facebook and those things as well to... unknown or complicated because it is. No, that's very good. So do you find being part of a church community helps your single life then? Who wants to go? Perhaps Helen, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, definitely. I guess even just walking through the doors here on a Saturday night, I'm normally a Saturday night girl, I feel that it's like just... straight over me a covering of the Holy Spirit, just even walking through there, and it just increases throughout worship. So whatever's happened during the week with the doubts and negativities and just the struggles with singleness, whatever it might be that's come up with it, whatever it might be, we don't have all night, all day, prayer and worship and just the fellowship here at Bayside, my Bayside family is just amazing, and I don't know where I would be with without Bayside, honestly, I really don't know where I would be. I'd probably be still out wandering in the desert somewhere. But I feel that transformation throughout worship, and it just increases, and that just puts everything back in perspective for me that night and continues through the whole week. And when I come back here the following week, I'm hanging out to get here. It just puts everything back in perspective.
Very good, very good. All right, Ash, yeah?
Yeah, I think being a part of Bayside in particular, it's pretty hard to be lonely. There's so much stuff going on that if you do ever feel that way, it's only a matter of picking up the phone and calling up someone, or there's so many different projects as well to be involved in that, whilst I sympathise and emphasise with people that do get lonely, I think there's very little excuse if you're a part of this church to be lonely. So.
That's good. Amazing. So perhaps what are some of the ways then that you've coped, apart from obviously here, I know James mentioned earlier, busying yourself during the week. What are some of the coping mechanisms you'd use?
Yeah, just getting involved, volunteering, not living for yourself, living for other people. That's helped me, and it takes my mind off it. You can throw yourself too deeply into work, and I did that a few years ago where you work a lot of overtime, but you need to keep the balance, of course. And by that, I mean mental health, and that's what's helped me, just volunteering. Not necessarily church, but helping out family and friends. You've got the time, you're available, you've got plenty of time to help out.
Excellent. Well, two other quick questions. One is, how as a church community, what could we say or do to support you guys better?
I found this question hard to answer. Because like Bayside is such a welcoming place, and it's such an amazing community to be part of. One thing that I probably would, thinking a young adults kind of side of things, and what I find the greatest help, I guess, in singleness is that support and that friendship. And it would be simply that, like what Ash was saying, if you want to connect with people and if you want support, don't hold back. You know, get into connect, get involved, and it is an active part of, you've got to be active, not just passive in it. And at the same time, we have to be welcoming and not just that one-off welcome, because we're really good at that, but continually connecting people in and continually going to visit the person who's sitting by themselves or that sort of things, yeah.
Helen, you had some good thoughts on this earlier. Do you want to?
What's the question?
So, how can we as a church family say or support you better?
Yeah, I think unfulfilled desires of the heart is just a lifetime issue, whether you're married or single, and whatever they might be. And you're always seeking ways of getting that support, whether it's through Connect or certainly serving whatever is on your heart, where God has whatever God has put on your heart to serve, volunteering, like James has said. There are some, I guess, negative sides where I've been in situations where I've been perhaps friendly with people, and sometimes I've felt that having a conversation perhaps with a man, that I might get the look from someone. And I think it's really important to be aware of that as a married person with a single person that is in the same church community. And I have had that look, and I've felt it, and it's been very real. And not many times, but it is there. And I just want to make people aware that I am after a life partner, but I'm not after your life partner.
Very good. No, that's good, very good. I think we've got to learn to embrace and see where people come from, their perspectives, considering. It's good. It's good. Ash, you got anything to add?
I just shared last night that I think it's just important that, you know, we all encourage each other. And if we are struggling with an aspect of being single, that we just open up about it and be vulnerable. And we don't need to try and be Superman or anything like that. So, yeah, just keep talking to each other, supporting each other.
Absolutely. Well, just the last question, just any perhaps some thoughts or encouragement or scriptures that God may have given you that you can help share with others around singleness? Helen, you've got one?
Yeah, I do. It's Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think, you know, once again, I mentioned before about waiting, but Scripture teaches that there are great blessings, I think, to be had in waiting and learning to be patient. I make a joke of it sometimes with God, don't rush it, you know, as an older single Christian as opposed to an old single. Yeah, we have to be patient. And hopefully those life lessons are all worth it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Rach, you got...
Yeah, this is probably a bit more with a coping question. But for me, a lot of it is mindset as well, like what we were talking about before with your thought process. And, you know, at times it's not good to dwell on the thought, but like recognize it, but also I give it to God and choose not to focus on it. So probably similar thing is my mindset. I won't focus on things that... will put me in that lonely state or will lead me down a track that I don't want to go down. So always trying to be positive and, see the blessings, not just always the negatives.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thank you very much, guys. We appreciate your openness and honesty. Why don't you give them a round of applause this morning? And I'd just like to welcome up Pastor Rob as he's going to finish the service with us.
That's great. Thank you. I'm going to sit on the stool. Thank you. I'm going to remove the sofas. I guess I'll have to couch this in other terms then. That had to be said. I really appreciate the honesty of our panel this morning and last night as well. Some different people involved last night. We had Ash last night and this morning. But really, really appreciate your honesty. And James Lowndes, you're a legend, mate. If anyone, any single ladies are here and you like the footy and you like towels on the floor... but you don't mind candlelight dinners. He's your man. That's great. Fabulous. I just want to conclude our service this morning very quickly with just a few very brief thoughts. And I just want to spend maybe 2 or 3 minutes on this, just as things to think about for each and every one of us. Because even though we've focused on singleness this morning, this is not just a service for single people. It's about how those of us who are married, those of us who are in relationship, those who have families, how we can understand our single brothers and sisters and how we can best minister to them. And so the first thing that I would like to say is that if you're not single, you have a responsibility to include the single in your family. Christy and I do this. We have about three single people that we will include in family functions. And, you know, Christmas time and various other times that we just invite people around. We can't invite every single person to our home, but I encourage you that through our example that you would do the same if you're not already doing that. Psalm 68 and verse 6 says that God sets the solitary in families. And so I believe that it's our responsibility as families in the church, as well as a church family, to make sure that the single people amongst us feel at home. And I just love the honesty of, you know, I'm looking for a life partner, but I'm not looking for your life partner. I think it was beautifully put, Helen. Thank you so much for that. Secondly, single people, I want to speak to you. You are not second-class citizens in the church. And this is vitally important, especially for those of you who find yourself single again. And let's face it, there are a lot of us here who at some point of time in our future will find ourselves single again, either through the death of a spouse or, God forbid, but it does happen, even to Christians, the breakdown of a marriage, like Lucy shared with us this morning. And sometimes through no fault of your own, you find yourself single again. And I know that in the past, much of the church has been very condemning and very legalistic on the issue of divorce and or remarriage. And sometimes divorced, separated people can come along to a church community and feel like a second-class citizen. And I want to tell you, as your pastor this morning, that at Bayside Church, you are not a second-class citizen and that you are warmly welcomed to be a part of our church community. Thirdly, I would like to say, and this is something that I experienced, understanding I know a lot of what I'm talking about this morning from firsthand experience. I was an older single guy when I got married. I was 34. Christy and I, there's 10 years difference between us. And I know she didn't look 44 when we got married, but... I can only use that line because she's not here today. Because whenever I use that, I always get a good laugh, but she hates me saying it, so... I used to get this all the time as an older single guy. These people would come to me and go, one day you'll get married and then you'll be complete. And it's like, what was that movie? Was it Jerry Maguire or one of those? Was it Tom Cruise? There's You Complete Me. What movie was that? It was Jerry Maguire. What a dreadful statement. You complete me. You know, in maths, a half plus a half equal one, but that does not work in Christian marriage. Two wholes make a whole. Okay, it's 1 + 1 = 1, or actually maybe it's 1 × 1 = 1, which is also correct mathematically. You need to be whole in yourself and not looking for completion in another person. Because if you're looking to another person to complete you, your marriage relationship will be less than desirable, because you will become too needy and always drawing and draining from your partner rather than giving in that relationship. So don't look to marriage to complete you. Fourthly, it's okay to be single. Some people, and Trish Curry-Hyam, bless her heart, she was part of our Q&A panel last night, and I think Trish is around 70, and she used to be married, and she has a family, and she put her hand up saying, you know, when Sandra asked the question, who would like to be married again, or sorry, who would not like to be married again, she raised her hand. She's a happy, contented, single person, and it's fine to remain that way if you feel contented in your singleness, remain that way. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul, as a single apostle, talks about the benefits of singleness against the non-benefits of marriage. And so it's a fascinating chapter in the Bible. Jesus, as Mark Driscoll has already mentioned, was a single man. John and Paul were single. George and Ringo were married. Paul the Apostle, John the Apostle, also Timothy, quite likely a single man. A lot of great single people over the years. I think of people like Mother Teresa and the amazing work that she did as a single person. Sir Cliff Richard and many others have brought great things to the world and have left or are leaving a wonderful legacy. And so don't think of yourself as a second-class citizen. And then finally, and this is particularly to you ladies, you married ladies, and particularly the older married ladies in our congregation, don't be a matchmaker. Like the Bridget Jones Diary, you know, where you... I used to hate this as a single guy. You would be the token single at a gathering, or even worse, you would find yourself the token male with a token female invited, and all of these married couples, and it was very obvious what was trying to be done. And I, you know, God brought Christy and I together at the right time, and really at a time where I wasn't looking and was very relaxed and contented in my singleness. I'd already pioneered Bayside, and during the first year of Bayside, I met Christy, and we developed a great friendship. We weren't even looking, well, she might have been looking at me, but I wasn't even looking or considering. And then one day I realized there was more to this friendship than just a friendship. And that's when we started to go out together. And the rest is history. We just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary in January and three children. But, you know, I used to hate going to weddings as a single guy. And all these ladies had come up to me and they'd go, "You'll be next." I used to get them back at funerals. "You'll be next." And so I hope you find that really, really helpful. and some great information and some great testimony, and let's take all of those things on board today, shall we? We started the relationship series last week. If you missed that message, it's online. It's from Ephesians 5, and it talks about the family relationship, husband, wife, and parent, children. And so that's online for you, audio and video, free of charge. And next week, I've been spending a lot of time writing a booklet dealing with different relationship issues. And it is rated R. We will be handing it out next weekend. But I'm just giving the heads up, particularly for parents with children, this is not reading for your kids. And so just want you to be vigilant next weekend. You will be receiving one of those as you walk in, but there is content in there that is not suitable for children. And if it was suitable for kids, it was something that I would like you as parents to read through first, and then at an age that is appropriate, that you would then talk those things through with your children. So I touch on issues like pornography and masturbation and divorce, remarriage, singleness, single again, all of those kind of things. So deal with quite a few fairly sensitive issues. I've done so from a biblical perspective, but also, I trust, from a caring and compassionate perspective as well. And the last thing that I would say is that if we've touched on issues this morning, and I'm sure that we have, issues that are of a nature where they've brought things up in your own life and you really feel the need to maybe talk about these things, then please have a chat with one of our pastoral team. We have wonderful prayer ministry here at Bayside as well, with Kathy Vass and her intercessors. And we also are in touch with quite a number of counsellors who are outside of our church community. And so there's an opportunity for you to be able to talk to someone. Sometimes people don't want to talk to people in their church community. They want to talk to someone who is a stranger to them, but also a professional. And so please know that there is help if you're struggling with a particular issue in your life, and don't struggle in solitude. Okay, speak out. Let's all stand together, shall we? And let's commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this wonderful morning in the house. It's been great to worship together and to be inspired by wonderful testimony and the honesty of your people. I thank you for all that we have heard and learned, and may that which you have spoken to us, may we mix with faith and put into practice, that we might be a blessing and that we might be blessed. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.